The next do not we learn about is وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ. Do not go near the wealth of an orphan, because whoever consumes the wealth of an orphan, it is as if they are filling their bellies with fire. They will not see in this life, but in the hereafter, on the day of Qiyamah. So do not even go near the wealth of the orphan. If one has it in possession, cannot start spending frivolously from it, and think, use it before the orphan gets old and asks about it. Do not use it wastefully, but spend carefully. If one is wealthy and an orphan isn't in their care, then they should not even take from their wealth at all. Except if one is impoverished and has an orphan in their care, then use it illa billati hiya ahsan. Use it in the best way. Use it in a fair manner. For example, if a person is poor and is an uncle to an orphan nephew, the uncle is so poor that cannot afford to raise his nephew and only has enough to sustain his own family, then he can take from the wealth of the orphan, but only that is ihsan, or good, what is needed to raise the orphan child. Or when spending in such a way as one would spend their own money carefully, or spending, not making careless and risky investments, or having the intention to endure losses. And one who is needy oneself, spend it in a fair manner, to take only for the needed expenses. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever is accompanied by an orphan in their meal, shaitan does not even go near that meal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah, or blessings, in that meal. The most beloved home near the sight of Allah is in which an orphan is being raised with respect and care. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity and ability, we should upraise an orphan child, and do it knowing that the home where an orphan is raised is loved by Allah. Also, those kids who end up in foster homes, we see the lack of Muslim parents who can foster children who need a foster home. So the Muslim foster children are ending up going to Christian homes where they are raised. These kids whose parents end up in jail, or who have died, or they are not there for them to raise their kids. So their Muslim children are not able to be raised up by Muslim families. We learned that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had many orphan kids under her guardianship. What was the conduct of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with orphan kids? As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an orphan himself. A child is an orphan when they do not have anyone to be their guardian, when they are being raised in foster homes, or in Christian homes, and Muslim families do not want to come forward and take the responsibility for these kids. This is because we consider ourselves masters and want guarantees of sustenance. If we put these ahadith as incentives, those families who can do it, those who do not have kids themselves, should make their homes foster homes. They should come forward and apply to become foster parents, so they can raise Muslim children to be good Muslims. And even if they themselves do not adopt ways of Muslim parents, they would at least know who is a Muslim. They will get a message of who Muslims are and how nurturing they are. Sadly, we do not think about this, and we say, why should we rear someone else's child? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha did not have any children, and she raised so many orphans, and did not think that way. One man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, my heart has become hard. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you wish your heart to be soft? He said, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, show love and kindness to an orphan, and wipe your hands over his head, and feed him from your food. Your heart will become soft. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore and said, "I swear by the one who sent me with the truth, whoever showed love and kindness to an orphan and spoke kindly with them and had mercy upon him due to his weakness and being an orphan, and did not show pride due to wealth and abundance in front of his neighbor. About these two, he said, Allah will not punish them on the day of Qiyamah." Do we not do it because these things are considered out of fashion and don't want to bother with upbringing an orphan? We have become selfish that everything is just about our own selves, our homes, and our own kids, and say, why should I bother raising an orphan? Just consider giving money to an orphanage. The orphans get a shelter and food, but who will give them love and affection? They need love and attention, not just food. The pain in their heart, no one else can feel. The Prophet ﷺ was an orphan himself, so he felt for them and cared for them. The Prophet ﷺ said, "I and those who raise an orphan will be like this in Jannah, putting his two fingers together. Whether we become foster parents or bring a sponsored orphan child into our home, those who can do should do it. This is such a test paper that can save us from the torment of the Akhirah and gain nearness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. How long does one take care of the wealth of an orphan? Hatta yablugha ashuddahu, until he reaches his maturity. When the orphan child reaches youth and maturity, a person should return their wealth to them, not devouring it up before they reach their maturity." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, "Wa awfu bil ahdi," and fulfill the covenants or agreements. In the Quran, we are constantly reminded to fulfill our covenants, contracts, or agreements, because إِنَّ الْأَحْدَ كَانَ مَسْؤُولًا, indeed the covenants will be asked about. And one asking will not be a person, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Either if they are contracts, agreements, promises, they all must be fulfilled. If one has promised certain amount of wages to a laborer, give it to him as agreed. If they do this much, they will get this much as a payment. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make agreements with tribes, and if he could not fulfill due to certain complications, then he would present the agreement in front of them and announce that it had to be ended. Then after that, dealt with them, even if it meant a war with them. It was not that he decided to end the contract within himself. Another example of a contract or agreement is when we enter any country, when we apply for a visa for entering that country, we are in fact making an agreement that we will remain peaceful and not engage in any activity that would bring harm to the country. Also, when we become citizens, at the time of taking an oath, we too make an agreement that we will not do anything to bring trouble or harm to the country. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ, and give full measure. In Surah Mutaffifin, the first matter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is those who do not give full measure and they cheat. On the day of Qiyamah, we'll have to answer for it. It is not restricted to measurement in scale, but includes amount of hours one is scheduled to work. A person must work during those hours and do the required duties, not using that time for personal use. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, the people used to cheat in their measurements. Then Allah revealed these verses, and then they corrected themselves and started giving in correct measure. Even today, wherever we see scales of measurement, the chances of cheating are higher. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wherever a nation does not give full measure and cheats, the crops do not grow and the nation faces conditions of famine." We see these in our Asian countries, where prices are skyrocketing and shortage of provision. is common. And this is all due to falling short in measurements. Malik bin Dinar said, "My neighbor came to me as his time of death was near. He said, he kept saying, 'Two mountains of fire, two mountains of fire.' He would see something and say it. So I asked, 'What are you saying?' He said, 'Abu Yahya, I had two tools of measurement. With one I would measure when I sold, and the other with which I would measure when I bought.' And he died in this condition, unable to recite the Kalama of Shahada. The man would cheat and had a heavier scale when he bought and a lighter scale when he sold. So this deceiving earned this punishment at the time of his death, and he could not recite the Kalima." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Iza kiltum wazinu bil qistasil mustaqim." And when you measure, measure with a straight balance. Do not cheat. Either if it is measurement of length or weight, give full measure. Do not cheat. We see in Indo-Pak today, when the milk is sold, we see milk sold mixed with water. Rarely anyone gets pure milk because no one can see or measure. Very few in the entire country are ones who give pure milk. While in the Quran, what does it tell us? Ibn Umar, whenever he would pass by a seller, he would tell him to fear Allah and give full measure, because on the Day of Judgment, those who give less measure than due, the day they will be made to stand, their sweat will reach up to their ears. They will have so much sweat that they will be drowned in it. Measuring scales also include measurement in yard length of fabric. Those who cheat stretch the fabric to measure each yard length. So when a person comes home, they see that they have less fabric than they asked for. Whenever a seller cheats even a little for whatever he sells and gives less, even a little is collecting fire for himself. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. That is good and best in the outcome, better for them in this life. Because those sellers who are honest, their businesses flourish. People come from afar and trust is built due to their honesty. And in terms of the end result or outcome in the hereafter, this is better for them. They get rewarded in the hereafter. We learn that for an honest trader, there is a big reward on the Day of Judgment. The next do not we learn about is وَلَا تَقْفُ. Do not follow after or pursue مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. After that which you do not have any knowledge. Do not be suspicious or go after or having false notions in one's mind without complete information and saying they must have done this or that, or those who are suspicious of others and follow after others on what they are up to. When one doesn't have knowledge about something and accuse someone of it, and form an opinion about someone without any basis, this is la taqfu. Taqfu means nape of the neck, which is behind a person. So do not follow behind or go after that which you do not know about. Mufassireen have many explanations about what is included in wala taqfu. Another explanation is that following after ways of the forefathers, especially religious beliefs without any proofs, what the ancestors or forefathers followed are not from Quran or Hadith, but when one follows them anyway, saying we do it because our mother did it or my grandmother did it or this is tradition in our family, what proof is for what they are following when there is no proof? So here, why do you follow that which you do not have knowledge about? Another case is when people exaggerate a matter and say, I heard it from my own ears or saw from my own eyes, while they did not hear or see anything they claim. Included is slandering someone. When we see someone going to someone's house and based on that start scandals without any knowledge. All these things come under following after that which you do not have knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden all matters regarding this. Among the seven kaba'ir, or major sins, is slandering an innocent woman. On the Day of Judgment, it will be a harsh retribution for this. When anyone ascribes any scandals to an innocent woman without knowledge, is a big sin. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ stated that if any person supports someone in an unjust dispute, remains under the wrath of Allah until the person leaves it. For example, in a dispute between husband and wife, and if anyone wrongfully supports one or the other, or in a case supporting someone who is an oppressor in a dispute with the one who is being wronged. And if anyone who falsely accuses a believing man or believing woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in the hell. This is a Musnad Ahmad narration. Blaming, slandering without knowledge, or accusing are all included. Qatada states that when you didn't hear, don't say I heard, or when you didn't see, don't say I saw, because inna sama'a wal basara wal fa'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the heart, all will be asked. A person will be asked, what did you hear in this life? Evil talk? Hateful talk? False talk? What kind of talk came out of one's mouth? What did a person see with their eyes? What type of thoughts were harbored in their hearts? All will be questioned. The matters of the heart no one knows about. Only the person knows himself what is in their heart. And Allah too knows what is in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we will be questioned about them. We should be so careful because we have to give account for these faculties. Are we using ears to hear or listen to scandals or backbiting or listening to music with them? And what do we look at with our eyes when we look at TV, on computers, or when we look at someone? How are we looking at them? Even a person sitting next to us doesn't know what we are looking at, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the person is looking at and knows of it. Every person will be questioned about them. Why did you listen to what was not appropriate or allowed? What was not allowed to be looked at? Why did the person see it? What you were not allowed to intend, why did you intend it? Then we'll be asked, you were given eyes, ears, and hearts. You were supposed to use them for hidayah or guidance. Did you use them in obedience of Allah or not? Also, another meaning is that Allah will give the eyes, ears, and hearts ability to speak on the Day of Judgment. And that day, they will testify against the person. As in Surah Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمَ الْسِنَتَهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That day, their tongues, their hands, their feet will testify against them. And again in Surah Yasin, Ayah 65, that day, their mouths will be sealed, their hands and their feet will speak and testify about what they did. Also in Surah Hamim Sajda, Ayah 20, it is mentioned that when they enter hell, their ears, their eyes, and their skins will testify for all that they did. Allah will give these faculties abilities to speak and then will question them. This is also another meaning or explanation. It can be either of these explanations. Therefore, we must be careful how we use our ears, eyes, and hearts, because they are not ours. Allah is their owner and master. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to us for some short time to use in this world. They will not be sincere to us. If we use them wrongfully, they will testify against us. Just as we consider our child ours and think he or she will not tell others about our matters, and if that same child goes out and starts telling others about our secrets, how does it feel? that day when a person's own limbs will start testifying against the person, how will the person feel? There are so many things we do not know about. We only look at one aspect of a person and do not know them completely. And then based on that one aspect, we start doing discussions about the person, saying, I saw her doing this and that, and start spreading rumors about the person, only using incomplete information. Then when we continue on with that to others, how will we answer for this? How will we face Allah with this? We do it and then forget about it. We do not even remember that we did it. Those who want to make a home in the Akhirah, they are very conscious about how they use their hearing, their sights, and their hearts. They do not use them wrongfully, but carefully, and know they have to use them for making their Akhirah and not useless things. These are very valuable assets given to us by Allah. Are we using them to make our hereafter successful, or using in things that will harm us in the hereafter? We easily call someone a liar or such and such. No, we shouldn't say things that we don't have knowledge about. We will have to answer for them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا, and do not walk in the earth with insolence or pride or arrogantly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the walk of pride. Why the pride? إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ, you will never tear the earth. وَلَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا, and you will never reach the height of the mountains. When a person becomes arrogant, their behavior shows it. How they carry themselves, they walk striking their feet as they will rip the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they cannot rip the earth, then why the pride? Also, the head gets raised up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you cannot reach the height of the mountains. Look at yourself, how small you are. Hear the movement of pride due to beauty, wealth, knowledge. Having any pride is so detested by Allah that if a person has a pride even equivalent to the mustard seed, Jannah will be banned from them. Today, if we see people, we see them proud and boastful upon their degrees, their skills, and nice clothes. This is more common in women. Today, the walk of pride, as models walk, is taught, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves humility. So we should walk with humility. Why be so proud? كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها. All that mentioned, all the things mentioned from Ayah 23 to 37, the Ten Commandments, all of these listed things are things that are hated by Allah. And Allah has stopped us from them. These are all evils: being disrespectful to parents, fornication, killing, wasteful spending, which makes one brother of shaitan or relation of shaitan. So in that case, the person will be with the shaitan on the Day of Judgment. Then the greed and stinginess, devouring wealth of orphans, breaking of promises or contracts, cheating in measure, speaking without any knowledge, slandering, talking negatively about others. Our hearing, our sight, and our hearts will be asked about. What is in our hearts? What we hear and what we see. If we look at ourselves, we realize how much we need to correct ourselves. All that we learn about, if we are not just questioned about what we heard with these ears, what thoughts are entertained in our hearts, how much hate is in our hearts, or what is actually in our hearts, and what did we show to others? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made these means of earning good deeds with them, but what did we actually earn with them? What will we say to Allah? It is easy to speak about this, but what is important is that we pass in these tests. Allah says, these are prohibited matters. These are evils in sight of Allah. If one questions how they walk, for example, with pride, where does it say it is haram? We learn that in Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits even this type of proud walk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes pride, arrogance, and being full of oneself. Killing of children is an evil. A person cannot say, it is my child, so I have a choice to give birth to it or not. That life is given by Allah. Even a child is a trust from Allah. These ears, eyes, and heart are a trust from Allah. Therefore, He will ask about them. These are makruh near Allah. It doesn't mean the same as in the fiqh. When something is stated to be disliked, it is called makruh. Here it means it is absolutely disliked and hated by Allah. Some are actions, some are thinkings, some are about behavior, some are about wealth. It includes everything. ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ That is from what was revealed to you from your Lord, from His wisdom. All these matters are from His wisdom that He teaches us. If one acts upon them, then they have received its wisdom. And whoever gets wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Baqarah, has received great good and khair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua for hikmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this wisdom through wahi or revelation. Hikmah is very valuable. Hikmah means understanding, wisdom, knowledge of the beneficial things. Allah has given us a piece of His wisdom to us. These are from Allah, not something ordinary. Rabbuka, from your Lord. So now the end of this topic is done by what the topic began with. Just as a statement is put in a brackets, in between were matters pertaining to the rights of people, what we call حقوق العباد, which are very important. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ So do not make with Allah any other gods. Because if one does that, then فَتُلْقَى فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَلُومًا مَدْهُورًا Consequently, you will be thrown or cast in the hell, one blameworthy and removed from the mercy of Allah. If anyone falls short in Tawheed, it means cannot associate anyone with Allah. Otherwise, the person will blame themselves. If they knew and were told about it, but persisted upon it anyway, then when they face the outcome, they will only blame themselves. As if we tell someone to save themselves from adultery of eyes, according to the commands of Allah, and it's being an evil. But still continue to see indecencies, then when they face the punishment, they will only blame themselves. Likewise, whoever does shirk and takes on other gods alongside Allah, they too will become blameworthy in the hereafter and will be far removed from the mercy of Allah. They will not get the mercy of Allah that day. If a person feels that not doing these is very difficult, then this is from Shaytan. If a person realizes it is forbidden by Allah, such as killing their own child, then they will not do it. Or when they see relations mistreating and think cannot be patient with them, then remember it is a command of Allah to give them their right, which is maintaining ties of kinship whether they give your right or not. We have to give. Or when we blame others for not doing good, saying, I wish I hadn't listened to so-and-so, then we will only blame ourselves. And do not walk insolently or arrogantly upon the earth. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me that adopt humility among each other. Do not be boastful to each other. While some people's talk begins and ends with boasting about themselves and their families. Greatness is in piety, not in elite contacts. One must remember, if anyone has even a speck of arrogance, they will not enter Jannah. Then how can one talk like that? We came into this world in the position of humility. Prophet ﷺ said, Youth of Quraysh, guard your chastity. guard that Allah guarded, so whoever guarded it will enter Jannah. What will be worse on the Day of Judgment than one whom Allah will not speak to, or someone who He will not show mercy upon? Allah has closed all doors leading to indecencies. Prophet ﷺ stated that if in any nation shameless deeds become commonplace, then deaths become a commonplace. Today we hear of so many young deaths. We should not just focus on the cause of death, but why they occur due to widespread indecency. And because of cheating in measurements, nation-state shortages, and scantness. While we look for other reasons, we learn that in a nation where fornication becomes a commonplace, the nation faces droughts. In a nation where bribery becomes a commonplace, those nations lose their awe or domination. Does anyone look to these reasons? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq or ability to act upon these commands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the deception of the shaitan. Ameen ya Rabb. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Please listen to the tilawa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
ولا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق نحن نرزقهم وإياكم إن قتلهم كان خطأ كبيرا ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ومن قتل مظلوما فقد جعلنا لوليه سلطانا فلا يسرف في القتل إنه كان منصورا ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا وأوفوا الكيل إذا كلتم وزنوا بالقسطاس المستقيم ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا ولا تمش في الأرض مرحا إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها ذلك مما أوحى إليك ربك من الحكمة ولا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتلقى في جهنم ملوما مدحورا